Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Twin Flame Diary. This is your host, Raina. And yes, I've changed the name once again to Twin Flame Diaries because to me, this is just like an audio diary that I'm sharing with the world, you know, in hopes that somebody can relate, learn a lesson, get a new perspective, things of that nature. And in today's episode, I wanted to talk about lessons I've learned on my journey as a twin flame. I've learned several. And a lot of these, I'm sure you've probably heard of if you're on this journey, things, lessons that you need to learn or that you would learn, especially if you're actually putting in the shadow work. Because, of course, the twin flame journey is not about the actual twin flame, the other person. It's more about you learning, not even... Well, learning who you are. I'll say learning because, of course, we're getting back to oneness. We're going back to our whole selves, which, of course, we've lost along the way. So this is why I like to say learning, because you have to relearn these things. And shit, some stuff you don't even know. So learn. And several of these lessons that I've learned before the journey, I never would have thought they were there, honestly. Like, honestly. So, a lot that we hear about, of course, is codependency. That's one of the major things. And honestly, I didn't see that until last year. Like, I could actually see it, like, within me. And it's been something I've been working on since last year, but especially this year. So one of the other things I want to talk about is having walls up, guards up, right? For me, that was a big one because I always say I want love, right? And I always thought that I operated out of love. And it's like I do, right? I have a big heart, a caring soul. But at the same time, and that's what I give to people, whether it's friends, family, strangers I meet on the streets. My patients at work, it's going to always be love. I'm coming to you initially kind-hearted and full of love. But when it comes to my personal relationships, like, say my twin flame, we'll just say him. And I'm like, I want to give him all this love and blah, 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 blah. I'm able to give love, but I'm not really able to receive it. And pause, also side note, I want to speak on that. I've probably mentioned some of these things in previous episodes, but they'll be reiterated in this episode because this episode is about the lessons. And it may end up being, you know, a two-parter or something because I've got like 8 of them. Anyway, so the walls and the guards up. So I'm able to give love, right, to the people in my life. My friends, family, strangers, patients. I'm able to give them that love, but I'm not able to receive. I was not able to receive love. And I'm still working on it. But for the most part, that guard is on. A nigga might trip. You feel me? But the guard is down for the most part. So one instance that I can, like, off the dome, I can tell you, one thing was, my son likes to do things. He is very affectionate, right? He likes to cuddle, and he'll do things, and if he's doing it for himself, he'll do it for you too, right? So one day, he was making himself a cup of tea. He asked me if he could have some tea. I said, sure. So he made him some tea. He had to be 7, 8, somewhere in there. So he made him a cup of tea. And then he came into my room and he brought me a cup of tea. And this breaks my heart now that I'm very aware. But he brought me a cup of tea. He said, Mommy, I made you a cup of tea. And so I said, oh. And I don't think I was really mean. It was just the fact that I rejected it. I was like, I didn't ask for a cup of tea. He's like, I know, but I just wanted to make you a cup of tea because I was making me a cup of tea. And I'm like, well, I didn't ask for no tea. I don't want the tea. You know what I'm saying? Like, go pour it out. So not necessarily mean, but not necessarily. But I didn't accept it. I was not receiving that, right? That was him showing me love, and I was not receiving it. And it's so heartbreaking. Like, I could literally cry if I allowed myself to right now. Because he was just being sweet. And that was a big one for me. And it was funny because I was on the phone with my cousin. And my cousin is, she's meaner than I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's mean. I'm just mean if you push me to it. But she'll tell a motherfucker no in a minute. So, I was on the phone with her when it happened. And she was like, Raina, that was so mean. He just made you a cup of tea. She was like, even if you didn't drink it, you take the cup of tea. And I'm like, what? You know, I honestly did not know. Honestly, it's like, oh. True, but it was, I wasn't trying to be mean. Like, you made me a cup of tea? The fuck you make me a cup of tea for? It was just like, I ain't asking no cup of tea. Why would you make me a cup of tea? And so I could see how that, of course, could hurt somebody's feelings when they're coming to you out of a space of love or, you know, just giving. So I learned that lesson. That was what made me aware, should I say. That didn't help me learn the lesson. But, of course, much self-realization, I guess. Like, that made me aware. And then I was able to see in the different areas of my life where I was unable to receive love. You know, somebody will come to you giving me love, or come to me giving me love, and I'm just like, I didn't ask you for it. It's so embarrassing to think about now, but honestly, that's how I was. And so I learned that I have these scars up, and it's like, where did these scars come from? What made me put up these scars? And so I had to sit, literally. It's been a lot of solitude, a lot of alone time on this journey. Well, I literally would sit in my room in the middle of my bed. No phone, no TV, no music. And I'll just think. Right? Think back. Where did this scar come from? Why can't I receive love from my own child? My own child. I carried him for 9 months, pushed him out, and I've taken care of him until this point. Why can't I receive love? Right? So, of course, I went back. And I think I even had some instances with my actual twin, like the, you know, like just instances where he may have tried to give me love and I just was like, motherfucker, what? But I just went through all the scenarios, even my mom, like just my father's side of the family, like my aunt and my grandma. Still kept in touch with me, even though he was not there. They were there for Christmas, birthdays, you know, and they always wanted me to be there with them, but I couldn't. I couldn't. And my mom didn't force me, which I am very thankful. But those were instances where I just could not receive it. So, of course, I narrowed it down all the way back to my father not being in my life. And it's like, okay, well, what about that made me put my wall up? And it was because when he left, that last time I spoke to him as a child, I was maybe 9, 10 years old, and he told me, don't call me, I'll call you. And I never heard from him after that. Never saw him, never talked to him, nothing until I was maybe 19, 20, when my cousin, his nephew, passed away. And my cousin was 6 months older than me. So, I narrowed it down to that and the fact that I was hurt, right? And you're hurt by, I was hurt by one of the few people who should have loved me pretty much automatically, right? Should have been there for me, should have wanted to protect me, provide, make sure I was good. And he wasn't. And he hurt me in the process. And so I was so, I had cut him off emotionally. There was no emotion toward him. And there still isn't, but I'm aware of it, right? And I'm aware not to make another pay for that. But that's where it started. I was hurt. I was hurt more than a 10-year-old should be by their parent, you know? And of course there are, I'm gonna stick to my story. I was hurt. And so it put up walls. Because I don't want to be hurt like that ever again. And I mean that hurt. Because this is supposed to be my father. The one of the few people, like I said, who is supposed to love me. Period. There should be no question, right? He's supposed to love me, protect me, provide for me. He did none of the things. So, it put up a wall. And I was protecting myself because who wants to be hurt like that? But in that, even building up the walls to protect myself, it's really strange. It's like the thing that hurt us the most is the thing that we're most comfortable with. Does that make any sense to y'all? So it's like being a child raised in an abusive household, you know, you see your parents fight, you see your father abusing your mother, and you grow up. Of course, I always believe there's two type of people. The people who see this and refuse to ever let that happen or do that to anyone that they love. And then you have the people who see that and think that it is normal and that this is how someone shows you they love you, or this is what you think love looks like. So you grow up and you end up in abusive relationships, whether it be physical, emotional, psychological, you know, you end up in an emotional, in an abusive relationship. So I never saw anybody get abused physically. You know, no one was ever abused in front of me, but the way that my father hurt me, he was not there. He was not able to see me, hear me, give me what I need. And so I found myself attracted to men who would do the same thing to me because I found comfort in that. I found comfort in knowing that this man ain't gonna do nothing much past this. He's not gonna go out his way. He's not gonna step over dead bodies to make sure I'm good. You know, he's not gonna put his coat down over a puddle so I can step over it. He's not gonna do stuff like that. If I call or text, he's gonna ignore me. But he'll hit me up in a couple days. Oh, okay, he still loves me. Shit like that. I found myself, and it's like every guy I've ever been with. And I can think of two times where I turned down men or a guy, because I was a teenager, a guy who probably was, of course, the opposite of those things, but I was turned off. So, for instance, I was, I'd say probably 20, 21, and I was on those chat lines, and I had met Marcel. He was my boyfriend. Well, I met him on the chat line. We talked and we got into a relationship. Very short lived, but we got into a relationship. But while I was talking to Marcel, I won't say initially we were, But I met another guy. His name was Angelo. Right? So I've got Marcel and Angelo. Now, Marcel's not... He's that toxic shit. You know, he's... But anyway, he just wasn't good for me. Like, his mom, his own mother, asked me why was I with him, because he was no good for me. And y'all, I tell anybody, if the mama or a sister tell you that that man ain't shit, please believe them. Or they ask, what are you even doing with them? Just go. Please, I promise you, don't question it. Don't try and sit and reason with yourself. Leave. Okay? Leave. This is speaking from experience. This man had no job. He sat at home all day, every day, and drank beer. Well, he drank hard liquor, too. But he woke up at the crack of dawn drinking. And drank all day. Drank and smoke all day. And, it just was no different. He had me missing work. Now, of course, he didn't ask me to do any of these things. But this is what I did. I was calling off work so I could be with him. I'm riding around. This man is... He drove my car while he was intoxicated. And I don't mean intoxicated like he had a drink or three. No, I'm saying this man was clearly inebriated. And I let him drive me around in my car. He would be just tore down drunk. I would let him take my car while I was at work. Shit like that. No, and I didn't need to be doing none of that shit. Okay? It got so bad that the doctor I worked for, because, like, it was her practice, so she was the doctor, the supervisor, all that. So she's calling my mom, like, Rain ain't coming to work, and I don't understand, and I'm worried, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I got the whole family doing the intervention on me. Like, it was bad. I'm sitting here missing work just so I can sit around with this man and smoke and drink all day. Bad, right? So then there's Angelo. Now, Angelo was a sweetheart. He was attentive. He was caring. Thoughtful. He was there. And of course, I love that too. But then when it came down to it, because it was like, okay, I can only do so much of this. You feel me? Like, I can only... Or something. Police out there over the microphone. The microphone. But anyway. Sorry about that. It was just they spoke over the loudspeaker and it scared me. Angelo, sorry, that distracted the mess out of me. So anyway, then there was Angelo. Complete opposite. Sweetheart, all of that. You know, if something was wrong with me, he needed to know what was wrong and why was it wrong. But when it came down to it, it was crazy because I didn't just like break it off with him. I had got to a point where I knew I needed to make a decision and I had kind of pulled away. I was going to say shut down, but that wouldn't work. I guess I had pulled away. And Angelo realized that something was wrong. And so he was talking to me, and he's asking what's wrong. And I had to tell him. And I told him that I needed to make a decision because he did know about Marcel. So I told him I needed to make a decision. And just during the conversation, we ended up breaking it off. And I ended up with Marcel. And I broke Angelo's heart. Broke his heart. I did not mean to break his heart. That's why I knew this decision was something that, you know, and I just didn't get to even think it through the way that I wanted to. He and I just ended up having this conversation and it just ended. And ended up with Marcel. And I'm not sure how long after that, but of course it wasn't long because I only knew Marcel like 6 months. And he ended up passing away in a car accident. And of course, all of this is on my mind. This is part of once he passed and everything, and I got over the initial shock. It's like, now I can't go back to Angelo. Like, oh, he died. Here I am. I'm back. I can't go back to Angelo. What kind of shit that look like? Now, maybe I could have after some time, but, you know, he was kind of over me because I broke his heart. But just like, it was crazy. And that's just what I want to say when it we get comfortable with the pain. Because this is what we know. And it's weird because you think, of course, pain, I'm running away from the pain. I don't want this pain. But that's what you're comfortable with. You know what to expect. With Angelo, I didn't know what the fuck to expect. I do now, kind of. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we would have ended up married or anything, but it definitely would have been better. And on this journey, you learn that, of course, well, I'm sorry, not on this journey necessarily, but I've always believed in what, parallel universe, alternate realities, you know, there's a reality for every decision that you make. So this is my reality now for making, well, you know, this is my reality with making that decision. My reality could look completely different had I just chosen Angelo. You feel me? So that's just me. Now, we maybe we'll have an episode like that. I don't really talk too much about it because I don't, but anyway, yeah. But we're used to the pain, and it's comforting, if that is not the craziest shit in the world. It's so comforting that we go looking for it. So when we do get a good guy, someone who actually cares, we run from it. Because it's like, what do you mean, have I eaten today? What do you mean you want to come make me some soup because I'm sick? You know, and it's just crazy to me. So that was another way of my walls being up, my guard being up. I'm not able to receive that love. I was unable at that time to receive that love that Angelo had to give. Because it was a hot ass mess with Marcel. Found out he was talking to some girl in Texas. They was getting married and gonna get a house and all da 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 da. Of course, we know he was not. Well, I'm sorry. I know he was not. Don't do none of that with her anyway. He was telling her lies. He was telling me lies. And he had lied to me. And I should have ran then when he lied to me. Initially. Because, you know, he said he had a job. He had a car. And come to find out, he ain't got neither. You know, that's when I should have left. And maybe I'll do that. Red flags. Where's my pen? Anywho. That was a lesson learned that I learned the hard way. And, you know, my mom had helped me get that car. She co-signed for me because I needed a co-signer. And, you know, she's like, I co-signed for you because that's what my father did for me. And I want to do it for you. And, you know, she told me, don't have nobody driving that car. And what I do? I had somebody driving that car and he crashed that shit. And this is literally all in my lesson. What I had to see with the, you know, with my guards up. It led down that whole rabbit hole. Each one of these lessons, that's why I said it might end up just, I might just do a part for each one of them. Because it's so many. And I'll probably, because the bad habits and addictions alone, I can tell you right now, that one there, self-accountability, worthiness, self-love, that, and the worthiness kind of goes with the having the walls up. Of course, they all kind of connect, of course, but had the wall up because I didn't feel like I was worthy. And so now you have to figure out how can you begin to let the walls down and receive the love that is given to you. Not just friends and family, but the love you receive in everyday life. For me, I started with my son because he is the most affectionate person I know. He wants to cuddle. He wants to do things for you. He wants to make sure you're good. So I started there. And if he makes me a cup of tea, I'm gonna take a cup of tea. When he says, I would always say I love you back. We had, this other thing. I had this really, really bad habit. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it came from having the wall up or just the fact that he startled me. I don't know. But he had this thing that I hated where he would walk up on me and to give me a hug and a kiss. And I don't know if it was because he wasn't coming from the front. You know, he'd come from the side. Or he'd sneak up from behind me. Not like, holding me from behind. But like, he's walking up behind me and he'll come around the side and give me a kiss on the cheek. And I'm like, I didn't elbow my own baby. Like, it startled me and I would not like that. But I had to learn within the last couple years to... Excuse me. To accept that love, I just had to kind of tell him, like, don't sneak up on me because you coming out of nowhere. You know, I'm talking to my roommate, and then here he come in and he say something. Hey, just give me a kiss on the cheek, y'all. And I don't know. It was just weird. I was like, I am so weird. I don't know if it was something from a past life. I'm just weird. But anyway, I don't know. I still got a lot to figure out because I really feel like I have issues when it comes to the male species. Like, I have to learn to trust them again. That just literally came to me. I have to learn to trust them because it's hard for me. It's hard for me to trust anybody. I don't want to think anybody think it's just men. It's some women too, as far as friendships are concerned, because I have a wall up for that, because the females that were supposed to be my best friends, and I mean these were people best friends, that betrayed me one way or another. Let's see, I had one who went with my man, one who had sex with someone who I had sex with, and I just, that's something I don't like. They just betrayed my trust in one way or the other, and I have a hard time with that. So now it's hard for me to truly accept someone's friendship wholeheartedly. So I want a group of friends. I want to be able to, but honestly, now in my life, I don't think I will ever have that group of friends. You know, like you see on TV, the good girlfriends who call each other for everything, and you know, they call it to see if their outfit match or if it look good, should they change it, advice. I don't, not a group. I do have my roommate who is my friend, but I just think that's what it's going to always be for me. Just me and a person that is my friend. I don't think I'll ever have a group of good friends. You know, people get married and you'll see they have 20 bridesmaids and 20 groomsmen. That won't be me. To ever have 20 bridesmaids. Or even more than two. Honestly. Even though now I don't want any group bridesmaids, but like I didn't have that circle, and that's something I had to accept. I know I kind of got off topic, but it's also a guard I have up. So it's not just romantic relationships; it's friendships as well. But that was something that I realized. That was a lesson I learned, that I have a wall. And now I have to work on how to get it down. And one of the things I used was, of course, the isolation. That's one of my favorites. I don't know what it is. I would sit and I would think. I'd sit in my thinking bed, because I'm in the chair, my thinking bed, and I would think. Go all the way back. Don't be afraid to go back. Don't be afraid to face the pain, because I know it hurts, but it's a memory. It's the past. It cannot hurt you right now. I know you feel that pain in your heart, in your gut. You might start crying. But these are things you don't have to share this with anyone. I haven't shared this with anyone until I'm talking to you guys. But you don't have to share that with anyone. Just do the shadow work. You could journal. I would journal. I have several journals floating around my room where you write whatever you feeling, whatever you thinking, the solutions you came up with, the scenarios, you know, the past. Like I wrote how. I wrote about my father, how it made me feel, how I felt about him, how I cut off all emotions to him, toward him, for him, about him. I could give less than two fucks about that man. Now I have a little bit more emotional, like I understand that he was my father and that he was human, and humans make mistakes, humans don't make the best decisions, and that humans are messy. No matter the high regard you hold them in, humans are messy, and he was no different from me right now as an adult. You do what you think is right, you do what you think is right for the other person in that moment, even though the other person may not understand. I can't say that I'll ever understand why he did what he did, especially the way that he did it, but he's human. Well, he was human because he's now deceased. He was human. And it's hard for me to say that he made a mistake because I didn't know him. We never talked about that. He did come around when I was, like I said, my cousin's funeral. And he wanted to talk. And we talked. But, you know, he never apologized. He just made excuses. You know, your mama was crazy. Yeah, she crazy. She was crazy, but she wasn't that damn crazy. You feel me? So stuff like that. And you can write it down. You can go to therapy. Hell, they got therapy now. You can text the therapist. Like, y'all talk via text message now. You don't have to go and sit in front of somebody and, you know, be vulnerable in that way. But get it out some way. Figure it out the best way without harming anyone or yourself. Because I know some people react physically. Like, they don't just write it down and sit there and cry. And don't feel like you have to go and hurt someone, or, you know, don't go. And because you're digging up these old feelings, right, and things like hate, anger, resentment will come up, don't feel like you because you dug it up that you need to still hold on to it. No, you're digging it up so you can get rid of it. So yes, you have these resentments, that hate and anger towards a person, but you want to get rid of it. And because you're getting rid of it does not mean that you're letting this person off the hook. It means that you're relieving yourself of that heavy pressure. You don't ever have to talk to that person again. It really irks my nerves when people say, "Oh no, I forgive. I'm not forgiving nobody. They're not getting off the hook." That don't mean they're off the hook. Just because you forgive somebody don't mean you gotta have them back in your life. Just because you forgive somebody don't mean you have to talk to them again, ever again. Just because you forgive somebody, if you see them walking down the street, that don't mean you gotta talk to them. It just means it was what it was. It happened. It hurt. And you know, say to not live and let somebody do that to you again. But these things, most of these things, it's not something you want someone to do to you. So, but just know that person is not off the hook. Some of them know they fucked up. Some of them don't think they was wrong. You know what I'm saying? But you know that you forgive them and you moved on. That's what it means. You've moved on. You've let that person go. You let what they've done go. And you move on. When you think about it, it hurts a little bit, but then you continue on with life. You don't sit there and get angry, and now you're at the bar drinking, and you're now drunk, and you're fighting because you're angry about some shit you're having to deal with in the spot. That's not how it's working. You feel me? So, yeah, see, that's 37 minutes, 40 minutes. We'll come back and talk again about the other 7 things I got on there. But yeah, I just wanted to come and talk about the life lessons I've learned in my twin flame journey. So this was one, having the walls up, having your guard up, and however, in whatever regard, however it pertains to you. For me, it was receiving love and affection. Stuff like that. I'll talk to you guys later. I think I'm really gonna like this little series. I hope you all are enjoying it. I know the last episode blew up. Oh, that's something else. I'll probably come back and talk about that, because I talked about twin flame separation and that little episode blew up. I want to thank y'all for that too. I'm geeked. I don't know if y'all listened to the whole thing. You just started and stopped. I don't know. But I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.